The epistle of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. And we'd like to begin reading in verse number 10. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, the element shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. We'll stop reading there for a few moments. We'll come back to this text later. I want to preach today about this thought of new heavens and a new earth. When you speak of the coming of Christ, it can get very confusing. We know that we as God's people are told by the Apostle Paul to look for the rapture, when Christ will appear in the heavens and will take those who are saved, who are in the grave. They'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And those who are still alive will be changed and will go up together to be with the Lord in the air. That's one incident that we look forward to, and it directly affects those of us who are already saved. Of course, then we know in Revelation chapter 19, we read again of another appearance of Christ when he comes on a white horse, the armies of heaven following him. And he's coming in that particular scripture to judge the earth, and that's after about 7 years of terrible tribulation on this earth that we live on. The things that you can read between chapter 6 and chapter 19 in the book of Revelation about what's going to happen to this earth are terrifying if the Holy Spirit gives you understanding of these things. I believe them literally. I believe they're going to be as described in the scriptures. So there's a second coming of Christ, and all the earth shall see him. And the Bible says they'll run into the caves and the rocks and cry out to them to hide them from the face of the Lamb, from the wrath of the Lamb. But the Bible speaks further of new heavens and a new earth. This also is literal. We find it, as we read to you, in Isaiah 65, verse 17, prophesied by Isaiah. And then we find in 2 Peter that he tells us pretty vividly and with a great description, this earth that we now live on is going to be literally and totally dissolved. I think the word he uses here in the translation. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved after the great tribulation period, after Christ comes to judge the nations of this world and cast the false prophet and the man of sin, the beast, into Gehenna, then this earth is going to be destroyed totally. Now you should be somewhat able to understand that. I know it's kind of hard to really grasp, but it's no different than Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we believe that. 6 literal days, rested the seventh day. This earth, as we experience it and see it and look upon it and touch and feel it, we know it's real. And the Bible tells us how it came into existence. But this earth is going to be dissolved, and he uses the description here of the elements. You know what the elements are, what makes up all things that we call matter, things we can see and experiment with and touch. But he also talks about the heavens being on fire, are going to be dissolved. The earth, the elements of the earth are going to be melted with a fervent heat. They're going to disappear. The heavens that we know now are going to be dissolved with a fervent heat, with a great noise. The Bible describes it here to the Apostle Peter. Now, this is also prophecy because it hasn't happened yet. Isaiah prophesied it long before Christ was born. Peter prophesies it here in this third epistle. And we know it's something that is yet to happen. But I thought to preach this because I'm afraid many of God's people, and I notice this even in the world when they talk about heaven, they have little knowledge of what they're talking about. Talking about, I want to go to heaven, see mom and dad and the people I loved and so on. That's very real. But you wonder, when you hear them talking, I'm not judging them. I have a great compassion on people that don't understand much about heaven. Heaven's about the glory of Christ. It's not about our loved ones. They'll be there if God has saved them. But what should our attention be focused on? As he says here, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? What should we be longing to see when we see Christ? Now, we'll see him in the rapture. That's one event, the next event in God's timetable. And then, of course, there's the event after the tribulation period when he's going to appear to the whole earth. Only the saved will see him in the rapture. But then after that great tribulation period, in 1,000 years of reign of Christ on this earth, Peter describes it, Isaiah describes it, that this earth is going to pass away. And knowing that, believing it because it's in the Bible and we do believe God's word, how should it affect us in our life that we're living right now? What should we be emphasizing? That's what Peter basically is saying. What manner of persons ought you to be? Why do we concentrate so much on our homes and our cars and our things if we really understand and believe that they're going to all be melted with a fervent heat? I hope you understand what I'm trying to do this morning. The Bible deliberately and willfully teaches us that these things are all going to pass away. There'll be nothing left but people. When God destroys the heavens and the earth, as described by Peter and Isaiah, people will still be left because there's a judgment must take place, and we'll get to that at a later time. But when you hear people speaking of something in the future, or maybe a loved one has died, and they say, well, he's going to a better place, you hear that all the time. They're talking about someone that maybe you know personally. During the time they lived on this earth, they had little or no concern about the next life. Their life reflected that. They certainly didn't have much interests about God's house and God's glory. But that's where people have not been taught. I don't want to be said of this church that you've not been taught what the Bible says about the coming of Christ. Not just as the most of the world thinks, instantly everything's changed and we're in heaven. That's not scriptural. These things are in God's Word, and they need to be understood, especially by God's people, and it should be affecting our life. Peter's speaking of something future. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. So why should we think it's strange that he can send them back to nothing using fervent heat, loud noise, to go out of existence? That shouldn't be hard to grasp if you believe Genesis 1:1. That God created everything out of nothing. Ex nihilo, there was nothing there. God created it and made it to come into existence. And he can also make it to no longer exist. And that's what Peter's talking about here. New heaven and new earth. When you think about your life and the way you live in this world, the things you love, the things you think about a lot, the things you work for, is it based on your knowledge of what's coming? Or are you like the world, just kind of floating along? You know there's coming a judgment, but you think, well, it's instantly going to be over. Well, there's some truth to that. But beloved, the Bible says, before God can create new heavens and new earth, what must happen? Use your logic. If he's going to create new heavens and a new earth, then these that we now know and experience must pass away. That's what Peter's telling us. These words have not yet been fulfilled, but they will be. There's other passages that teach the same thing. Peter says in verse 12, looking for and hasting with urgency unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved with and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's God's word. We believe it. We should live like we believe it. It should have an effect on our lives. When we go to Revelation, I want to turn there now. In the 21st chapter of Revelation, Peter wrote by inspiration what God wanted him to write concerning future things, prophecies. John writes by experience and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit in Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You see the harmony in the scriptures? Whether it's Isaiah speaking in prophecy, or Peter speaking in prophecy some 2,000 years ago, or John speaking on the Isle of Patmos when the Lord revealed these things to him. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Most of the time when you hear people talking about people dying and going to heaven, they say, well, he's going to live in his new mansion. Well, when people die today, they're not going to a mansion. That's future, even yet. That's something that has not happened. That's something that is yet to happen. You see, chapter 21 of Revelation follows chapter 20. Chapter 20 talks about the judgment of the lost, the judgment of the false prophet and the beast. And I believe these things can be accepted and believed and received in the order that they're found in the book of Revelation. And when people die today, they don't go to a new heaven and a new earth. They go into the presence of God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But there's some things that must happen before these mansions that we sometimes hear people talking about will come into existence. Peter says we should be looking for and hasting to, with urgency, with expectation. I think that's the problem sometimes. We get involved in this world and we're not thinking about the future. We're not expecting things that are yet to be. We're so bogged down and covered up with the things of this life that we don't really even think about the future. But Peter says in verse 13, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Now he wrote this 2,000 years ago. It still hasn't happened, but that doesn't in any way change the accuracy or the truthfulness of his prophecy. I want to say this. I hope you can understand it. If you've been born once, you'll die twice. If you've only been born one time, you'll have to die twice. That's scriptural. But if you've been born twice, you'll only have to die once. That's the physical death that we all will experience unless the Lord comes and we're still alive. Now, there's some truth in that I want you to understand. When we talk about the new heaven and new earth, we're not talking about everybody that dies goes to heaven. Because it's not true. When the Bible speaks of absent from the body, present with the Lord, and we know people have been saved and we have that hope and we can preach their funerals, we can talk to their relatives, we can talk to the family, and we could give them that comfort. He's with the Lord. But I'm afraid we're misguided sometimes when we talk to people. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. They've got enough on them with the death. So we try to use some judgment and some compassion and some kindness. But nonetheless, ultimately, the truth needs to be understood, especially by those who are saved. I understand the talk of most people concerning death. They're all scared to death of it, aren't we? I mean, that's human. But there's so much misunderstanding about it. I just wanted to preach this to you because you need to be taught. The rapture is something that we can look for and expect when things are going to be drastically changed. We're going to be taken up into the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll never leave Him again. But we're still going to be in the air. We're not going to be in a new heaven and a new earth. Because the scripture seems to teach it will be right there with Him all the time of the tribulation period. And then we'll come with Him, as it says in Revelation 19, when He comes on a white horse and all the armies of heaven followed Him. We're coming back to this earth as it is now. And we're going to live here for 1,000 years. The earth's going to be changed. And we're going to live here for 1,000 years. I preached a separate message on the millennial reign. But most Christians, most worldly people never read 2 Peter chapter 3. And it's a very informative chapter. It's something that we need to try to understand. And we need to fit it into our understanding of Scripture. When does this happen? Many of the same people that talk about, well, I'm glad he went to a better place. No, that person that they're talking about lived an immoral, ungodly life, had no concern about, never went to church, had no concern about anything, and yet they find comfort. And I'm not denying whatever comfort they can get. But, beloved, they need to hear the truth. Revelation chapter 21 is only for those who've been born again. That's why I said If you've been born twice physically, October the 5th, 1939, my birthday, October the 5th, we remember that, most of us. That's when we came into this world with our first birth. But have you been born again? Because if you haven't been born again, heaven has no relation to you until you are born again. This is important. Until you're born again, you know nothing about, even as Randy preached, in my Father's house are many mansions. You see, we need to fit these things together. Those mansions will not be available to God's people until Revelation 21. I saw a new city, or the holy city, coming down from God out of heaven. And that's when those that are saved, that have a part in that, will take their place in that dwelling that Jesus talked about. Those who are born again this morning, if you're saved, you should know these things. We should look for the appearing of Christ in the rapture. We know that's going to change our life. And we should look for it with expectation. But we should also look beyond that at new heaven and new earth, where Isaiah tells us plainly, the former things will not even come into mind. And Revelation 21 bears that out also. We should know, again in Peter, verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, are we looking for such things? Sometimes we say we're looking for the rapture. Well, there's more to the Christian life than looking for the rapture. That's a glorious thing. It's going to change our bodies. We're going to be likened to His glorious body. But there's more yet to come. Peter says, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Are we diligent? I'm afraid, looking in the mirror myself, we're not diligent about this kind of things. Be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. You see, there's more to the Christian life than just a rapture. There's life after the rapture. That's what Peter's talking about. New heavens, new earth. This earth as we know it, yes, we're going to live on it if we're saved for 1,000 years with Christ. Revelation chapter 20 also teaches us that. But after the judgment in the last part of Revelation 20, we get into chapter number 21, where it talks about the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. The born again should know. And we should, as he says, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace without spot. So Peter's warning us that there's more to the Christian life than the rapture. That's only one stage of it. There's more to the second life than just a rapture. Thank God for the rapture. We're looking for it. We're expecting it because it's a matter of faith and God tells us about it and we believe Him. But let's also believe what else He tells us. Back in Revelation 21, notice how John writes what he saw. Verse 2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. A prepared place, listen to this, a prepared place for a prepared people. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now we'll be with the Lord in the air at the rapture until He comes back to this earth to cast the beast and the false prophet into Gehenna and to judge those nations that came up against Jerusalem. But beloved, beyond that, here's the tabernacle of God, the place where God dwells, and it's with men. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is beyond the rapture. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. If you understand and have read about the millennial, it appears there's going to be death during the millennial. But this passage teaches us when God dwells with men in this new Jerusalem, there'll be no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Isn't that what Isaiah said? The former things will not even come into mind. They're passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." The problem is not with God when it comes to being saved. How many times do we see that invitation by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by God, time and again in the Old Testament? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." The problem is not with God. The problem is with our sin and our love of sin. That's what hinders people from being saved. They don't even know it, and they certainly wouldn't admit it, but they don't come to Christ. They don't profess him openly before the church or for anyone else because they love their sin. They don't want to change. But this place is for those who have been changed. As Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Peter stresses that we need to be diligent, knowing these things are coming. They're not here yet. But he also, at the close of his letter there in 2 Peter 3, he says in verse 18, "But grow in grace." Are you growing in grace? Am I growing in grace? "And in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." What is church all about? What is being with God's people all about? What is fellowship all about? It's about growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. "To him be glory both now." Now. Now. What are we living for? We're living for now, but it's not the now we're supposed to be living for. "To him be glory both now and forever." Is there anything in your life that does not bring glory to Christ? That's what we call sin. Our life should be to glorify him now and forever. Do we let the ignorance of the world about the new heaven and the new earth turn us away? You see, Peter gave us a warning. I want to turn back and read this. In verse 17 of chapter 3 of 2 Peter, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before." How important is it for me to preach to this church the things I'm telling you today? You need to know them before. You don't need to find out afterward. "Seeing you know these things before, beware. Beware. Lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." You're not falling from salvation. You can't. But you can fall from your steadfastness. You can be like Demas. Paul described as a man who was a fellow laborer. He helped Paul in his mission work, but later on in his second letter, he says, "Demas hath forsaken me. And he tells the reason, having loved this present world. I'll tell you what your biggest problem is, what my biggest problem is, in not serving the Lord in the way that Peter described here. We love this present world. Now, you can read in the Bible about how it's all going to burn up, it's all going to pass away, but unless you take it to heart, unless you ask God to give you a measure of faith to realize these things so deeply that every part of your life is given to the glory of God. Every part of your life is to try to honor Him. We want to live for Christ. You know what Paul described to the church at Philippi? For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. He'd been better off to die, but it was necessary for the church at Philippi that Paul continue to teach them so they could grow in grace and in a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I fear lest we as God's people become, in this particular description, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. The Lord wants us to be steadfast. He don't want us to be back and forth and up and down. And yet, isn't that the way most people are? Hot and cold. What did he say to the church, Laodicea? I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. God wants steadfastness in our lives. He wants Christ to be important to us on Monday morning and Monday afternoon and Monday night and Tuesday morning and all week long. He wants Christ to be important to us. He wants us to be diligent, lest we be led away by our own steadfastness, our own lack of it. And verse 16 also, and we try to bring the message to a close. He says, as also in all his epistles, speaking of Paul, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand. I know when I preach this, I know when I was impressed to preach this message, I might probably confuse people. I don't want to. It's always been the desire of my heart more than anything else as a pastor to be clear in what I taught. I don't want to confuse people. But beloved, we don't need to be confused if we'll accept the Word of God as it's written. But he says, some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. These things I preached to you this morning are very controversial. There have been men who call me a heretic for what I've said this morning from the scriptures. They just don't agree with me. And they don't agree with me so strongly that they would disdain me. And they wouldn't even want to have fellowship with me. But have I not read to you the Word of God? What I've told you, has it not been in order and in harmony with the other scriptures? Have I said anything to violate anything about the rapture? So shall we ever be with the Lord? But those same people that are going to be with the Lord are going to be with Him when He comes back 7 years later out of heaven to judge the nations of this world. We're going to follow Him on white horses, according to the Bible. And then we get into chapter 20 and we see the millennial reign. Have I taught anything that's different from what you read in Revelation 20? And then we get into the last part of Revelation chapter 20 and we see the judgment of the lost. They were only born one time and they have to die twice. Those who are only born once are subject to the second death, which is so described in Revelation chapter 20 in the last part. And then Revelation chapter 21. Same teaching of Isaiah and Peter and Paul and the writers of the New Testament. We look for new heavens and a new earth. Don't be satisfied with all you can have in this earth. It's so vain. And it's so empty. You know it is at times. You labor and you labor. And you try to do things to help yourself. And you get confused. And you feel so fruitless. And you wonder, what in the world is it all about? May God help us to take the words of Peter, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Isn't that what John said in Revelation chapter 22? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Was he not hasting unto the coming of the day of Christ? That should be our attitude. Where in the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the element shall melt with fervent heat. You know, the Bible tells us concerning Jesus Christ as a creator in the book of Colossians chapter 1. Not only that he created all things, but he goes on to say, by him all things consist. And that word means that they're held together. You know, this creation is held together, made up of atoms. You probably studied that in science class. Now, what did they do when they exploded the atomic bomb over Japan? Well, they split that atom. What happened? Terrible loud noise, terrible heat, terrible destruction. Now, if God created this first creation and he wants to destroy it with the loud noise and fervent heat, what would he have to do except to turn those things loose that are held together? And the Bible tells us Jesus Christ holds them together. By his word, he created all things. By his word, he can destroy all things. All he has to do is just turn them loose. So that's not possible. What does the Bible teach us? With God, all things are possible. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm saying it can easily be understood just by the things we know. When there's an atomic explosion, we've been hearing about that this week, about the one that hit Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the terrible noise, a terrible explosion, a terrible light, and the death that followed it. I preach this message because I want you, as God's people, I'm preaching primarily to the saved, to know that this earth, as we know it, as we live on it, as we struggle and try our best to do the best we can and to have as much as we can have and worry about the things that might affect it, is going to pass away. That's God's word. It's going to go out of existence. So what manner of persons ought we to be, knowing these things? No wonder Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about how you're going to be clothed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. This earth is going to be destroyed. It ought to have an effect on us when we know that. It'll affect the decisions we make. It ought to affect our attitude toward people. It ought to affect our loves for one another. Above all, it ought to affect our attitude toward God. If you're saved, he loved you. He gave you faith to believe. Or you wouldn't believe. Faith is not something you can muster up and you work it up yourself. Well, I'm going to trust Christ. Not without the work of the Holy Spirit, you're not. We're talking about new heavens and a new earth for those that have been born again. Pretty simple statement, isn't it? That's what it's all about. For those that have been twice born. What about you this morning? You may be here and you've never been born again. What manner of person should you be? How should it affect you? To know that everything that you see is going to pass out of existence. Ah, that can't be. There you go. Believe the devil. You either believe God or you believe the devil. There's no middle ground. So I hope that this message will cause you to think. Make you a better Christian. Because that's why God gave us this book. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us. To recognize the truth and agree with the truth. And then use the truth to make us a better person. And to glorify God. Bow your heads. Father.